What's an ordinance with the state open meetings, open records law? The first item on the agenda would be to approve the minutes from the May 27th, 2026 meeting.
So moved.
And a motion to approve.
I'll second.
There was a copy over there.
Second by Luke, is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
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 Chris abstaining.
Everyone abstaining because you weren't there. Okay. The minutes are approved. Next, the treasurer's report, who is not here. The second is, or the fourth is public comment. They must be relaxing in the chairs back there.
I'm here to listen and learn.
Ooh. That's good. Agency reports, we don't see anybody from the agencies, so we're gonna fly right through this. Discussion and possible action prepare for September 16th annual meeting. I was gonna do the social, but Brad's not on, so we'll wait till he gets on, if he gets on. So the item then is discussion and possible action prepare for September 16th annual meeting. So a number of items need to be accomplished, the budget, the audit, the agenda, the location, and speakers. Let's start with location. We have been meeting at the city council chambers in Onalaska.
That worked pretty good.
It does work good. But I've had some discussion with some of the other members, and it may be a good year possibly to use USGS meeting room. Here comes the agency reports.
It's him.
So anybody have any thought on that? I got a hold of Rick Niemeyer, the administrator for the city of Onalaska, but he hasn't gotten back to me. So there would probably be two opportunities in Onalaska. One would be the city council chambers, and the other would be the Dash Center, which is a community. So any thoughts on that as far as where?
I just remember him saying that they'd love to have us back, so.
Yeah, I know.
That's a good spot.
It is. It works. It works. We've had pretty good sized groups there. And have you ever been to the USGS?
No.
Okay. But as big or bigger?
Oh, yeah. I think we've been talking about USGS for some reason. But it was a good one, but it keeps from what the reason was this year. Was there something about this year we wanted to have it there?
Well, what's happened to them?
Yeah. And maybe this is our last hurrah.
And so I would think it might be.
Heaven forbid. But.
And I, the new new contact person, I just haven't got a hold of him to see if it's available. Okay. So I was going to wait and see what the board wants to do.
I would say let's get the information before we decide, and let's see what's available, and if there's costs involved, and we'll go from there.
Yeah, I don't know if there's costs involved with the city, and there's never been one with USGS. I don't know.
Yeah. So I'd say if we have all the facts and we can make an educated decision.
All right.
But I think if we contact them, we should try to hold that date at both places till we do decide. Just so.
Correct. Slip away. Yeah. No, we're getting both.
And we do have wrap.
Okay. So, if you don't mind, I'm going to switch agenda items to the social. Brad, you hear us? Ooh. You got a.
He's here. Yeah, I think he hears us.
Yeah, but there you go.
There you go. Sorry about that.
Yep, I hear you.
Okay. We got it. And he's not talking to Chris's phone. Okay. So, Brad, did you have some dates that you potentially thought it might be?
Yeah, so Mark, you thought August would be more palatable?
Well, it's because we have to send out a postcard. And when I was talking to Brad the last time, he said, yeah, we should have selected a rainy day. We didn't. think August, early August sometime?
Yeah, so if we went, if we did either the 5th or the 12th, that would work. I don't think you want to get past the 12th, that's going to get a little busy.
No. And the, one of the things on the 5th or the 12th, is there a preference anybody have?
I have a preference for the 5th.
Me too.
Me too.
Okay, anybody else? Brad, do you have a preference?
5th would be better.
Bingo.
5th it is.
So August 5th. And then all the same arrangements?
Yep.
Okay. One of the things that I, Chris and I have been talking about, more projects, you know, the dredge projects going on now. And one project may be to put in a, not a fishing dock, but a fishing deck, maybe next to the boat landing possibly, at the park over there at the Sample Club. I don't know, Lee?
We have to coordinate everything with Corps of Engineers.
Yeah, right, I know.
So, but I can't see that the village would have any, you know, concern.
Yeah. But it's, the village has got, it takes care of the park, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so that, you have to make sure that the village is involved.
Yep.
So.
We'll have our first village board meeting on the 14th of July.
So this is just an idea right now.
Yeah.
And it was, and actually each boat landing, we're trying to float because they're small projects. Fred Funk and Gazette is desperately need some depth assistance and then the Moji landing one. So each landing would have a potential project. And then we're trying to build a list of these small projects. Maybe it was just to get them on there and flesh out.
Things you can accomplish.
In addition to whatever else comes along, I think everybody's got their ideas to get things going.
And I talked to Sean about some too, from the habitat standpoint, fish habitat standpoint. Tim, you got any thoughts?
Yeah, we're working on that part. And I think it'll all include the similar thing, so.
Yeah, okay.
Right, what's different about what we're thinking now is small, doable.
Doable, small, affordable.
On the scale we can have private or private, public partnership things to do it.
Okay. Well, we got kind of rerouted from the number 6 on the annual meeting. So, budget audit agenda, I guess the other thing would be agenda. And we have our normal items on the agenda. We have potential for speakers. We've got the dredge project going. We want to have an update on that. We've got the UWL link survey. We probably want to have something on that. And then way back when the UWL did the survey on the dredge channels, we've gotten some information on that, but we still probably should complete that report because at the time we got the information, it wasn't completed. So, and then speakers, well, that would be possibly the UW study and possibly the dredge project. Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Any other ideas for the annual meeting? Okay, so we haven't selected a site yet. We'll get some availability from both USGS and from the City of Unalaska, and then we can make it.
USGS does have the tech abilities, so we can broadcast.
Well, they got
absolutely
all those you can possibly think of.
I bet you they do. So.
Yeah.
Mark, will you be continuing to take agenda items?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. Do you have one, or?
No, I just think that there were other things that we talked about, and I haven't been to a meeting for a while, so I need to.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, no, no. Yeah, there's other items for the agenda.
There were other ideas.
get it back, get it out to the commissioners, and then we can go from there. Put the meeting time, meeting date, place, all of that, just like a typical, and then I'll put the draft letter together, it goes out to the residents, and the next meeting, we'll have that. Okay, anything else on the annual meeting? Good. Discussion of Lake Alaska navigation topics, status of weed cutting. Looking, I looked a little bit, but not as much as Fritz has looked, and there just doesn't seem to be a lot of rice, is that a fair assessment?
Not yet, where Chad normally has done his first cut to hit the rice before it comes up by now, so.
Right.
Yeah, I think things are late, and I'm kinda wondering where the rice is, but I don't, Tim, do you have any thoughts on,
We have it other places, so, I don't know.
It just seems late and.
Very late.
Yeah.
And I saw it on the cleanup.
Yeah.
And so where did it go?
Yeah.
I don't know, we've been seeing it.
I mean, we had one high water since, but that doesn't seem to affect it, like.
No, it wouldn't, yeah.
I mean, it loves high water.
Yeah.
So, okay, alright.
So I presume Chad will launch as soon as he, you know, as soon as he can, cause he likes to get out there sort of proactively with, cause the rice is a problem once it gets too big.
He wants to get his own, but he's distracted right now with the dredging project, so maybe I should call him and see what his.
The machine has been out and was used, I think.
It was used in the jam.
Cut into the dredge project, so, I mean, it's ready to go.
Yeah, no, and they were, they've had it out earlier this year than I've ever seen, and that's because of dredge project.
Yeah.
So. Okay, Tim, do you wanna go back to agency reports, or should we continue on, does it make a difference?
It doesn't make a difference.
Well, the next one might be something for you anyway, and that would be the summer shoot navigation channel.
Yeah.
And so there's been some coordination and discussion on that.
You mind if I speak?
Go ahead.
Yeah, so the buoys have been purchased, they've all been purchased, all those chains and, anchor supplies have been purchased. We need to build the concrete blocks, but we've got all the stuff for it, just arrived. The buoys, we just got an email today from it's a Wisconsin company we buy it from, and they're delayed because they've gotta put eyelets on them. The eyelets are used to be able to deploy them.
Is that Royland?
Yeah, yep. So, we're looking at like late July for the delivery, so, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, they're the closest place to get them, and so they're a little delayed on one of the parts they've got to construct them, so.
Well, I think that'll be a real encouragement for people to follow the right channel.
Yeah.
When do you pull them in usually in the fall?
I don't know, they usually do it before freeze up probably.
Shapers, you know, shape like.
Before the Boyden's area, right? Cause the Boyden's area could end up in some.
Yeah.
And you get caught by that, and so it probably should be before the Boyden's area.
And I think just to clarify, this is a new set of buoys from what's out there, and it was to make mostly getting to summer shoot easier, and then.
Yeah.
Getting over the delta is still, I mean, they might be able to help some there, but it's still kind of a challenge.
Just to have a safe path.
Well, it would be, you know, where the little sticks have been, I think is what we were thinking, is they take care of that, plus people, you know, get people to enter the, get aimed at the alluvial fan of summer shoot in the best place, and maybe a set or two after it. Yeah, I think it'd be hard to have them on the alluvial fan itself, cause it's so shallow, but we'll have to find out.
But there's I've been thinking about this, that, you know, we've got sports shops and you've got hotels and motels, and if you get a little map out of the lake with the routes, you know, the boat channels and maybe even some of the places where things are hazardous, that might be pretty useful. So, and it shouldn't be too difficult to do that. It's just a matter of, I've gotta get the buoys out just so we know where that.
Yeah.
So there hasn't been any GPSing or anything yet, right? It's just
No, and a next step would be to get the waterway marking permit from the state.
Yeah, that should be difficult.
I don't know if you guys can initiate that. We can't initiate it. We wouldn't, we would just put them out there, but.
You want us to initiate that?
If you could, yeah.
I would entertain a motion for that if it's okay.
Because we sign, then it will come to us and then we sign off on it essentially, state of it.
Motion by Jeff, second by Luke?
Sure.
Okay. And that is to apply for a permit, place an navigation buoy since I'm sure. So will that, they're gonna want GPS readings on that or approximations?
Yeah.
And I could just, the area actually is broader than that because it would go from basically emergency light area to a.
Okay, from emergency light?
I think that's what was.
Okay, fine, fine. That's good, that's good. I never heard the emergency light end of it before.
Well, it's the, you know, where the little sticks.
Yeah.
So people entering, leaving the shore there have an obvious path to guide them out.
It used to be the old channel, but it's not as obvious anymore. So, thanks.
Where do they start on the other end?
Oh, opening some, or when would the buoy start?
Yeah. Or where will they start on like?
Well, you can't put them too close to the opening summer chute because you have a long chain. So I would guess once you break out into the open and you get to the islands, you know, that form because of the delta. Is that fair to say?
That's where we're looking.
Probably 6-8 feet of water.
Yep.
At most. And does that change from year to year as far as water depth? Does anybody know?
Changed a little bit, yeah.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, the other ones have definitely changed a bunch.
Yeah. But I mean, because if you had a pretty good sized flood, theoretically it would discover a deeper hole, behind the closing structure. I don't know, we had one 3 years ago, or was that 4 years ago? I'm trying to remember. The third largest. Didn't seem to change much in summer chute, except the one path. So, all right. And the next item is the Lake Unalaska exit path. Are we talking?
It's the southwest corner of the lake where you come out because there's a remnant of the old, you always call them ABC Islands, Jim. I don't know, but I get confused with Airhead, you know, the other ABC Islands.
Yeah, with ABC.
Anyway, there's some stumps poking up and people can't see it, and it's if you hit something, you're disabled.
And then you're right.
Gates are right there. I mean, there's like no option. So it's a hazardous situation. And I know, like, Chad from Shakers is trying to direct his people to go to some other places. I don't know what we can do to, I know long term maybe there'd be a habitat project to rebuild those islands, but it is a hazardous place. In addition, as you go out there, there's the new lock weir projecting off of the auxiliary lock wall that has no light. So at nighttime, it's really an extreme hazard, and if you're not, people aren't thinking about it. Or the other thing that would worry me is if the water was high, it's not supposed to get completely covered up. It's supposed to, even high water, supposed to get, but there wouldn't be much showing. So.
Boy, at a regional flood, I can't imagine that thing's going to be above water.
Yeah, they had a calculation, but there'd be times when it would just be barely showing. And I mean, if you're looking at it now, it's obvious, except at night, there's
nothing
showing. It really should have a light. So that whole area is just a hazard. Maybe long term we could think about some other way to approach it and not around it. I think for right now, we just wanted to flag that it was a hazard.
Do you know, has any discussion ever been had about putting some kind of a marker on there?
Mm-hmm. Not that I've heard of.
Not a bad idea.
We have another meeting coming up with the agencies on July 13th.
Bingo.
let's talk at that point. I think it's July 13th.
They're not the people that will do that. It's channel maintenance. It's like they don't, I don't know,
they don't
talk very much, but yeah.
No, no, it isn't, but it's a bigger group.
Yeah.
That's saying we gotta follow this idea.
Yeah.
It's potentially Coast Guard too.
Yeah.
Throw out, yeah, we'll talk about it.
Yep.
The next River Resources Forum meeting, which is in August, pretty soon, so we could bring it up there with Coast Guard.
That's great.
It's a hazardous navigation, that's right on the edge of the main channel, so I would think it would fall under something they could do.
Those islands have been identified too in multiple, everything I've put forward, and I know the Corps has put them forward too, so.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, the one that's like barely a snag exposed, that's the one that's hazardous.
Go through there, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe the next time we look for buoys, maybe we can put some buoys navigating back into the lake. I don't know, I mean, if people are gonna hit, not necessarily on the rock formation, but I'm talking about as they're entering where the stumps are.
Oh, you talked the path to follow.
Exit path is a, you know.
Yeah, and it's also an entrance path.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you don't know the lake, you don't know where it is. I know exactly where to go, but there's a lot of people that I'm sure.
No, I've seen, yeah.
Yeah.
They like to cut the corner and run over, but it's not a good idea.
Right, and then all of a sudden you're heading right towards the dam, you know, so. But it might be a good idea for us to not go out into the Mississippi River, but also, you know, look at the lake, just at two or three buoys going, you know, a particular direction. I think there's a wing dam under, right as you kinda go over the area where you go into Lake Onalaska.
Those are stumps, I think.
Are they?
A lot of stumps.
Lot of stumps.
And it drops up, it's really deep, and then it drops up to like 3 feet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then it's got a hole in it.
Yep.
Yeah, then it's got the hole, yeah. So, I don't know.
I've hit a lot of stumps in there.
Yeah, I don't know, Tony, you marked around by the landing lights, you didn't go get down that way with those buoys you put up, did you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, how far did you get, remember?
Well, we went up just past the sailboat club.
Yeah.
But at that, you know, it's like 13 years or so.
Yeah.
At that time, the island was still there.
Yeah, there were two islands.
Right.
Yeah.
It was pretty obvious where to go right now.
It's not.
It's, if you didn't know the lake, you could get yourself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Okay, next item is discussion of dock and pier regulations.
I was hoping Ashley would be here because we're headed towards a situation where we've got different dock sizes on the north shore of Lake Onalaska versus the south shore. And I did a little quick measurement on French Island of Docks. This is done from aerial survey map, zoom way in, but the county got a good.
So the length of docks on the bottom,
yeah,
and the number of docks.
Yeah, so this is the 50 foot mark here, so this is dock less than 30-50. And so they got one out at 210 feet. So it's pretty heavy on the long docks of French Island, and they've got not the network on the North Shore of Bryce Perry. I'm really concerned about residents on North Shore Vice Versa. It doesn't affect me because I'm not in the group with that couple, but if we're headed towards two different dock size regulations, north and south, it doesn't make sense on the same river. I also wanted to call attention to there he is. I know. Where is it? That one, okay. So the Corps has for limited development areas, which Bryce Perry is one, Buffalo City is one, French Island is one, Gatlinburg is one. The Corps has a shoreline management plan. So in the existing shoreline management plan, which was adopted in 1988, I think that couldn't be that, because it's 89, was adopted in 88. It has dock criteria that are 100 feet and 6 feet wide. So they kind of mirror the state of Wisconsin regulations. So those are in the shoreline management plan. So I know at Bryce Perry, you guys talked to Ashley, and she pulled the 50-foot one out. My hunch is the Corps is working on a new shoreline management plan, and that's where that came from. But this is what's in the shoreline management plan right now, is 100 feet and 6 feet wide. And actually, there's some other language that mirrors the state of Wisconsin regs about 3 feet voting in a vote. So what has to happen before the court can change that is just public involvement. So this is in the Shoreline Management Plan. So for minor changes, they have to do a news release and have a 30-day comment period before they implement the regulations. If it's a major one, which I would certainly argue the dock regulations are major, it's a big deal, they need public hearings and all that. So my hunch is what's going on, Luke, is that they've got a draft of this plan, and that's what, when you ask for something, they pull it out of there. But development is required, and the existing regulation mirrors the state of Wisconsin. So I'm not sure where all that's going. It would be, I think, very bad public policy to have a different set of regulations for whatever reason on the North Shore by Sperry versus French Island. Yes, there's a lease up here, but they're both limited development areas, which is what that refers to. So they should be under the same set of regulations. Right. But it's a heads up for French Island people if there's a move in that direction when the public notice comes out for comment, you might want to be aware of shortening dock sizes.
So that might flip back then immediately. Maybe we should have something, at least in writing, for the residents on what's going on.
Well, my question to the Corps is, where's the updated draft on the Shoreline Management Plan?
Right.
They're supposed to do it every 5 years.
So yeah, working with 1988.
So I think, and we've been hearing, well, you worked on it, we keep asking, them, where is it? Where, you know, well, it's not ready for release yet. But if we're starting to see parts of it being thrown out and implemented, that's not okay.
Right.
Would it be only for new docks going forward? I would figure the old docks would be grandfathered in, or
no.
At least permanent ones.
No, because at least
they weren't going to use the word grandfather, but it was for new docks, yes, and they were going to leave the old ones alone because that's what my understanding was.
Until they,
but I haven't seen anything in writing.
Yeah, the language I heard was, until they change hands or you want to change something,
correct,
then you got to adhere to the new ones. So
yep,
basically, the old ones are gone. I mean, it would take a very short amount of time. And the old ones would be gone.
So that's very confusing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very confusing.
Well, most of the ones on the island are permanent docks.
Yeah.
They don't come in and out, so.
So the difference is, and I could be wrong about this, whether it's the island or Bryce Curry, the homeowner that's got the permit, when they sell, everything's void, and you start over from the beginning. So if they've
what?
Got a rule for dock lengths, that's when that would kick in.
Yeah.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep, when the property is sold.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, this isn't an action item. I just wanted to kind of raise it
yeah,
here. That's
no,
looming.
Good.
Maybe it's something we're going to talk about more at the annual meeting.
At least.
The form, I think, is really, what's the status of the new Shoreline Management Plan, and when can we have a look at it?
So the other thing is, we've got the social on the, you know, on the 5th of August,
mm-hmm,
and maybe that'll come up as a subject. And that's just a back and flow of information. There's no organized, formal discussion.
Yeah.
So we'd have to kind of monitor and see what people are thinking. So it is confusing. Okay. Number 9, discussion about starting to build new potential habitat projects. That's, and Black Bears, Dredging and Mosey, Fred Funk, Nelson Landing, we sort of talked about that. And I've talked a little bit about this with Sean Biglin. And this list would be something not for MRRP or not for small, something that you could do local fundraising for. Yeah.
Do you mind if I speak a little bit to
this? Absolutely.
Because this is part of my agency report.
Yeah.
So we're what we're doing for our next upcoming meeting is, our hope is to have drafted up projects with a little paragraph, okay, that are small, bite-sized projects that all the agencies agree on, and that we're working on the process of prioritizing so that you guys have a list. And a lot of this, of what you've got on here, is on our list.
Yeah.
So we're each, we're each drafting up some, like a paragraph description of it.
Okay.
And we've tried to make them small, so that it's something that everybody can, you know, bite off and work off.
When you talk about that, you're talking US Army Corps, Wisconsin DNR,
Minnesota DNR,
what, yeah.
Yep.
So,
and so
you'll bring it to the
yep.
interagency group meeting and we'll...
And if there's something missing, what we're bringing to that is stuff that we've heard from y'all. And that's, if there's something missing, we can put that in there. But it will be prioritized stuff that's from the resource side.
That's really encouraging to hear because, I mean, I think if we're all going and rowing in the same direction, we're going to be able to do so much more together than all these different things and different ideas all over the place. So, love the idea.
And it's someplace in writing so that the public can grab it and say, okay, we don't know that these are going to happen, but the chances are that if somebody gets behind it and raises money, it can happen.
Yep. And then when we do some lobbying with our local representatives in Washington, now we have, this is what we all agree upon, and in the state, we have better chances.
So there's one heck of a list of grant programs out there, okay? A lot of them don't apply, but some do. And so I'm trying to put a list of that together so we have something.
Not on topic, but would the Lake District consider hiring a grant writer? I know Lake Pepin did that, and they were able to get some grants.
Yeah, all we need is a source of funding to hire the grant writer.
Yep. So, just something for us to consider, you know.
So, we should think about that from budget wise, and then how much is that going to be? Is it an on-call grant writer, or is it somebody that's certainly not full time? So it would be on a case by case basis.
Yeah, I know there's situations out there right now where you can hire a grant writer.
Yeah.
They take a percentage of whatever it is they write for.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It shouldn't cost anything to hire grant writers because they'll only get paid as if they win the grants. So, and there's agencies out there. When I worked for the school district, that's what we did. We hired agencies that would
so
write the
when
grants.
When you say hire, you mean you...
pro bono.
It's
engage their services.
Engage their services with the agreement of a percentage goes to them, which is...
That's definitely something I'd do.
Yeah.
Because as you know what our income sources are, they're not a lot.
Well, and they find the back doors to the grants. So.
They do. And there's a lot of retired people that used to work for some of these agencies, state and federal, that have insights into the language that you need to use. And I'm sure that we would not have a problem finding someone that would be willing to write for a certain percentage. So, you know. I recently applied for one. I didn't get it, but one of the things that I found interesting is there was only 15, it was a nationwide grant. There's only 15 applicants, 15. So the percentages of us winning some of those are pretty darn good.
Absolutely.
If people know the right language to use,
yep.
know exactly what they're looking for in the grant, and be able to exemplify that.
So, my wife used to support a position with grant writing. She said, you better know what you're doing.
You really do. If I was writing an educational grant, I would know exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's why you need it.
Right.
You need somebody that's experienced in the area that you're doing.
Absolutely.
So then we just need to find a grant writer for navigation purposes, pretty much, or habitat purposes.
Right.
Would be the two big areas.
So anyway, back to Tim's thing, I'm looking forward to the next meeting. I think we're really getting some nice ground going with agency meetings, with BPCA, with the Lake District, with Lake Onalaska Rehabilitation Coalition. We're really starting to... I feel like we're really starting to get some good grounds and lobbying some of our local and federal officials. It's been really going well as well, so.
Good. Tim, you got anything more on the agency report?
I got this.
Oh,
we're coming up on July 4th,
and so
I have to share this with y'all. This is what the patch looks like. It's pretty cool. I'll pass that around. And then, I've got stickers for folks, it's got.
Fireworks in the refuge?
Yeah, they'll do it. We're sticking them in fish, no, I'm just. I joke about that because you know Hallie, our service specialist, she always does a fireworks thing every year on the news.
Yep.
And one year I brought in a mounted northern pike that had bottle rockets sticking out of its mouth. So it was a joke. But the stickers they created, which is really cool, it's got a fish with a red, white, and blue hat on, and a celebration of 250 years. It's on Trempealeau Refuge and the Upper Miss Refuge. There's sites. If you go to the, like, there's three sites you need to go to, like, in this area.
We can all do them on the prairie.
Yeah, you can go to the site. Like, I'll give you an example here. Red Funk Boat Landing is one of the sites, okay? So you go there, you take a picture with your camera, you know, with whoever you're with. You bring the pictures into us, and you earn a patch. The last time we did this was the River Rat Relay, during our 100th anniversary, and we had bikers doing it, lots of biker groups. They
awesome.
Love patches. So get the word out. It is on our website as well. You can go there and see that too. So that's the big thing going on. And then I mentioned us working on some smaller bite-sized projects to distribute out. And so.
Is there, are you going to do anything at kiosk at the boat landing with the Freedom 250 or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think there'd be anything there. But yeah, you guys can take a sticker if you want.
Gosh, yeah. Yeah. Pass that back around.
That's what they're for.
I thought that was a hockey puck. No.
Other stuff like lake around the area, we've had a lot of trees go in Black River Bottoms this year along the bike trail down by Lytle. So good site, it's probably one of the best sites we've been planting. We're using some really tall tree stock, so it can kind of compete with the Reed Canary grass, but we did treat some Reed Canary down there.
I was planting small quails. You know, they got big enough that they got this tall, and they were still buried in the dirt.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, they still survive. They just don't, until they can get above the canary grass for a couple of years, they have a tough time.
And for the social event, too, I'll try and find somebody from our office. I won't be here that day, but I'll try and find somebody that can be there to answer questions.
So, just so everybody knows, we've got a donation for some chips and some pop and water, because when we have it at Red Pines, they've got the bar there and they can serve the food, so we'll have something to drink and a little few snacks, but so that's a little different.
I think that's pretty much about it. Lots of things going on, but it's a busy summer.
Yep. Okay. So the date again is August 5th for the social at Sailboat. Update on UW Extension facilitating collaboration and funding on Lake Alaska's future. So we've been working, we had a meeting with Carl and Charlotte to move things along, and we're developing a list of people of different governments, organizations, businesses, whoever is involved in tourism or has some relationship to the economic impact of Lake Alaska. So, we're waiting for Extension to get back to us to come up with this is how the process should work, or proposed process to to include those folks in a meeting or a series of meetings that, now, one of the things we thought we don't want to do is break up into small groups. Have more of a big group activity, which is a little bit more difficult to do, but it's a proven method that works. So that's where we're at. We still haven't, we're waiting for the extension to get back to us with the write-up on the process. Anything else, Fritz, you can think about the extension, what we're doing? Yeah.
I mean, that was actually one of the topics I was thinking might end up being something to consider for the annual meeting.
Well,
if we don't, if we don't
yeah,
have it fully resolved
yeah,
before
yeah,
then.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully we do that, at least the first meeting before the annual meeting.
Right.
So we
yes.
got some, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Update on North Shore Bridge. North Shore Lane Dredge Project.
Look at me. All right. So, yeah, we're moving and grooving. If you have any chance, go down by Red Pines Cafe, take a gander out there. You're going to see a small little dredge. It's got materials pumping right into our dewatering bags. We're on bag number 2 right now, so which is good. So what happens is it's like a big rotor till. It digs and digs and digs. And then all the water and the sediment, whether it's clay, whether it's muck, whether it's sand, gets put into these bags, and then the water drains out, and then it's reoxygenated, and then pumped right back into Lake Onalaska a little bit down farther. Big thank you to Bryce Perry Conservation Association. They've really helped us significantly through this process. We appreciate the help from this group, this organization as well. The federal agencies that have worked with us, Tim, has done a great job helping us get this done. We're looking at this as a kind of a blueprint moving forward, and how agencies and groups can work together on small or larger projects, and whether we lobby for some of the funding or whether we raise money for some of the funding. It's amazing how when people come together with a common purpose and common goal, we can move forward. So right now the channel is going to be about 1,500 feet long, so it's not that long, so it's really a small project. It's a cost of about $300,000. We're about $30,000 currently short. So we just had a couple of news reports on WKTV, basically Channel 8 and Channel 19 if you get a chance. You can find those news reports online. I also put out a blog recently that you can kind of see and hear us talking about, you know, kind of where we're at with it. But my most recent blog, which is the update on Lake Onalaska, has got all the information and more you'll ever want to know about the dredging project. I go into quite a bit of detail on it. But we're pretty excited. It's going to take, so the main channel that we're digging is part of the 1964 dredge. So it's not a new channel. It was already there. And we're following that same, but it's going to be on a shorter scale. We're going to stop right about where the Red Pines is. There's going to be a 12-foot deep hole that is called a sediment trap. And we're hoping that'll keep it from filling in, and we won't have problems for a long time. And when we do, we dig out the sediment trap. The rest of it, besides that 12 feet, everything back is going to be 8 feet deep. And it's going to be 3 feet on the shoreline going down to that 8 feet. So we're thinking it's going to be a really nice overwintering habitat for fish. It's going to be really great for tourism. It's going to be great for just everyone on the lake because it's the start of the first dredge in almost 40 years. Last dredge was in 1987. And so we're excited, and we're hoping that we'll continue to work with the agencies. I know Tim talked earlier about the list that we're developing. We want to work together as partners in all of this, and it takes all of us to work together. Can't be just one group or several groups doing different things, but North Shore Lane is coming right along, and 12 weeks we should be completed that process. Tim, did I leave anything out that you wanted to add? Yeah, okay, it's good, but just a big thank you to everybody.
So the bags, and they'll cover all that area that was worked up. I don't know, Tony,
metallic
question. Are you going to include any riprapping in there so that the sanitation from the shorelines of both the old island that's there and the shoreline, does it go back in there so quickly?
That's not included in this particular project. We'd be looking at significant amount more money. But kind of in the dredge project right now. So what they're doing is, they're going down the same path, and then what happens is, slips in, some of the stuff on the side kind of goes in, and so then it's easier to dredge it out. So we're gonna have some of that, you know, slip in. We already know that, but we know that some of the dredging projects from 1987, they're pretty, pulling pretty strong. I mean, they're a little bit shallower, but they're doing actually pretty good.
1989.
Sorry, 1989. Did I say 87? Yeah,
that's my difference. Yeah. It was a long time ago.
Yeah. So anyway, long story short, we understand that, you know, riprapping is going to be important. We also know that moving forward, we're hoping to work with the agencies to help develop islands. Some of them are in really disrepair. And so we just want to work with them, work with what we have, so we have a great use of materials.
Just had a question, so you included that.
That's not included.
That would be, those riprap jobs could fit into a small project. Finance-wise, that you should be able to do that. And so there's some talk about it, and if you have...
But possibly some of the shoreline owners might do it themselves, too.
Yeah, the other side, it's, yeah. It's not going to...
The one right there by Red Pines, yeah. Further down, some are and some aren't. And then the island that's there...
Rosebud.
Not Rosebud. The little island.
Oh, the little island. Yeah.
That would be the most logical one to stabilize.
Yeah.
And Ashley from the course says if it's less than 300 feet, it could have the same sort of permit process that they do for the folks that riprap the government land that's adjacent to their property.
It falls under the nationwide permit.
Right, it falls under the nationwide permit. So,
And since you're on the southern small projects, Army Corps of Engineers put in those big iron walls.
No, that was Grace Prairie.
That's Grace Prairie?
Yeah.
And we put those in, and they're all done. I mean,
they're all tipped over. Yeah.
That might be another small project.
Too. Right. Yep.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
It's on the list.
Might be on the National Historic Register for artwork by now.
Yeah.
If that's on artwork, we could. Oh, it's on public property. Have people pay to look over it. Nothing more on the. I'll tell you what. I've been down to the dredge project 3 or 4 times. That whole area is covered with plastic. The water running out of the bags is, I can't say it's not contaminated, because I don't know, I didn't do a chemical analysis, but if you look at the clarity, it's pretty dang clear water. So it's not carrying a lot of suspended sediment or things like that. And then that goes into a large hole in the ground that's covered with plastic, and then there's a pump there, and when it gets so deep, then the pump kicks on and puts it back into the lake. So it's got some safeguards on it as far as, you know, you're not going to be pumping dirty water back to the lake. And then walking on the plastic, I thought, boy, that's going to be slippery. It's not. I was surprised. I don't know what kind of plastic isn't slippery when it gets wet, but this stuff isn't. So otherwise, there'd be a lot of people falling down off it.
I sure hope you didn't put any rips in when you're walking around on it.
Nah, I'm not going to do that. Next item on the agenda is the update on the Isaac Walton Creel Census Survey. And I'm a member of the Isaac Walton Club, and I helped put the survey, and essentially we selected 2 dates, and I did Mosey Landing, and what we were looking to see is why do people use the lake, are they catching fish, if they are, what fish are they catching, why do they, other than fishing or boating, what else do they do? And the people that are on paddle boards or on kayaks or whatever, and for everybody, how how often you use the lake in the last year? And I had one person that said 100 times. Most of the people are, oh, a dozen times, so that this is my first time, so, Ms. Fritz?
He's next door.
Okay.
If you have a basic question, I might be able to answer.
Good.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, no, the question would be, and if this is coordinated, and I think they're talking, Fritz, are we talking about doing some more real census?
In August, I think.
Okay, and was there something about, right?
It's up to you, we have different.
So we're talking about looking the survey over and kind of bring it up to.
We need to review what we got and then decide.
Yeah.
But there was interest in doing it again in August, so I guess we're.
So it was a fun exercise, and there's little fishing tournaments that take place, and I was down there boat landing when one of the, everybody comes at one time, and so trying to get a survey called off was not easy, but they were having a good time.
So we have about 93 or 94 completed and entered surveys right now.
Which is pretty good for the short period of time we.
That's amazing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, schedule next meeting, considering we have to get this annual meeting put to bed. I would hope that we can do that in July.
How's July 22nd sound?
Anybody, July 22nd, that's us. What day of the week is that?
That's Wednesday.
Well, it's the fourth Wednesday, which I think is, that's what this was, I think we've been kind of.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's easier when it's consistent for me, so.
Well, yeah, we put it, I already have it in the calendar, next BPC.
Yeah, we've been doing fourth Wednesday.
Okay, good enough. And.
Do you need a motion for that, or?
Yeah, let's do that. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll.
Chris made a motion, do we have a second?
I'll second.
Second is Luke. Any discussion, hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed, thank you, okay. If there isn't anything more, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Motion, I accept, by Luke, we have a second. Now everybody wants to stick around.
I thought we had Jeff and Luke first and second.
Yep.
Oh, were it both of them?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I missed that. We have a motion and a second, any discussion, hearing none, all in favor?